Here we are in the middle of the Bread of Life discourse, where the Lord Jesus is talking and teaching about the Eucharist, his body and blood, which he will offer for them and for at the First Supper, or the Last Supper, and that very first Mass on Holy Thursday. And there's great objections. People are getting anxious and starting to object because some of the things that Jesus says. So before we look at the gospel, though, I want to just take a line from the second reading today. It simply says this: do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. Among all the things that the Holy Spirit would bid us to do and urge us to do is to have faith. And not just faith in some, I can recite the creed kind of faith. Yes, that's important. But faith particularly in the Lord at a very personal level. So there's two things, for example, that are said of the Holy Spirit by St. Paul, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You know, you could teach a parrot to say the words, but to believe with your heart, Jesus is God, he's the Lord. See, that's the Holy Spirit. And likewise, St. Paul writes elsewhere in both Romans and Galatians that you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Father. So this a tender love for the Heavenly Father is also a great urgency that the Holy Spirit has for you and me, that we love the Father, that we have a holy reverence and wonder and awe, and every word the Father speaks is precious to us, and especially the Word become flesh, who is Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit is always summoning us to deep faith. And as we look at this gospel today, that's an important thing to keep on our minds, because the Lord says some things that rather upset people in this gospel. And but the question, I think, for them as well as for us is, do you know who is talking to you? Do you understand that this isn't just some dude from Nazareth? He's the Lord. And so listen to him. Now, when he was baptized, the heavens were opened, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. See? And so, therefore, we ought to take the Lord very seriously in what he teaches us today. Otherwise, we end up grieving the Holy Spirit, and we fall short in faith. So let's start to look at the gospel then with this understanding that the Holy Spirit is within us as well as within them who heard that day, summoning them to listen and take him seriously and to remember who it is that is speaking to them. So the gospel opens and it says the Jews were murmuring. The listeners that day were murmuring about Jesus. You know, that's a great word, right? Murmur. It's like an onomatopoeia. You know, remember that from your grammar days? A word that sounds like what it is, you know, says, you know, bang, you know, like bang, you know, and things like that. So murmuring. And Jesus, in effect, says to them, stop your murmuring. Why are they murmuring? Because he said, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. Now, remember, who is Jesus Christ? Notice, though, they immediately go and they say, well, what does this guy think he is, you know? Says he came down from heaven. Isn't this just Jesus, the guy from Nazareth? Don't we know his mother and his father? What's going on? Who does he think he is? Does he think he's God or something? Yes. And he's been teaching them. And by the way, you've heard me on this before, but Jesus gave four proofs of his divinity. He says to them, you must come to believe that I am. I am is the divine name, Yahweh. You must come to believe that I am. But he's not asking them to just to believe just because he says so. But he's also showing them evidence. He says, if you don't believe in what I say, then believe on account of the works that I do. The miracles, miracle after miracle, including raising people from the dead. Miracle after miracle. He says, also, Scripture testifies to me. And Jesus fulfilled hundreds of scriptures from the Old Testament. Everything from being born in Bethlehem to curing the blind and, you know, raising the dead, giving them bread to eat. All these prophecies about the Messiah, Jesus fulfilled them. And then he says also the third testimony is John the Baptist. Look, there's the one who's the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. He's the one of whom I spoke. One is coming after me who is greater than me because he existed before me. And so John the Baptist, who everyone respected, testified to Christ and to his divinity. And then finally, he says, my Father is also testifying. And that gets back to the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father. You see, these people aren't just standing there in Capernaum at the synagogue saying, you might say, well, look, maybe they just don't, they're not informed enough. They haven't heard him enough, or maybe they didn't see all the miracles. What you're doing there is understandable. What I would be doing there, it's about psychology, sociologies. It's only looking at the human dimension. But you need to understand, God the Father is in their heart saying, this is my Son. Listen to him. And the Holy Spirit is testifying, he's the one. And so they had this influence as well, and so should we. And so should we. But they're objecting. Well, he's just Jesus from Nazareth. Who does he think he is? You see, so they're resisting the testimony of the Father. They're ignoring the miracles. They're ignoring the testimony of John the Baptist and all the scriptures that he's fulfilled. They're ignoring all that, and they're resisting the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus goes on to say, they again, how can he say, I've come down from heaven? And Jesus answered and said, stop murmuring. Stop your murmuring. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him to me, and I will raise him on the last day. For it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Now, you see exactly, Jesus is saying, the Father's speaking in your hearts right now, but you're resisting him. Now, it's interesting, this word, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him to me. The Greek word hakuon is really more draw. Now, the better word is to drag. It implies pulling something with a lot of resistance. Hello. That's us he's talking about, right? Now, I don't know about, I'm not stubborn. I'm never stubborn. Some of you all, though, I don't know. You know, we get stubborn, and man, the Father has to drag us, you know? You've heard that little missive before. I think I've quoted it before, where I am who I am today because when I was young, I had a drug problem. See, my parents drug me to church. And they drug me over to school every morning. And when I got into some trouble, I got drug out to the woodshed. And my mother would drug me over there to the sink to wash out my mouth with soap when I had a drug problem, all right? So no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me drags him. So he knows their resistance, but he's teaching them and he's teaching us. You are without excuse. Every grace you need to come to understand who it is that is speaking to you right now, says Jesus, has been given to you. Has been given to you. You're being taught by God right now. He says, in fulfillment of the scripture. So, God the Father is teaching you right now who I am, and I am God, and I am teaching you, says the Lord. So this is where we begin with this gospel. It is a lack of faith that is at the root of the problem, not just an information deficit, not just an experiential deficit, or the person tends to be more open-minded or more closed-minded. These are all sociological and psychological explanations that may have their place, but they are not the complete picture. The resistance is sinful. And Jesus is saying, the Father's trying to drag you to me right now, and you're resisting. All right. So he goes on. He said, everyone who listens to my Father will learn from me and will come to me. Now he goes on then finally to say this. If you believe, you'll have eternal life. And he says, I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. So he simply repeats himself. They're objecting. How can he say he came down from heaven? He says, well, I'm going to say it again. Now, again, this could all sound like, look, either he's the Lord or he's a liar and a lunatic. I hope some of you will say with me, he's the Lord. Yeah. But again, this is where their lack of faith comes in, and where our lack of faith could come in. And so it is, he says, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Now, then he reminds them, we talked a little bit about this last week, but it bears repeating. He says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. On the other hand, they went ahead and died in that wilderness. That first generation didn't make it. The people of Israel made it. But that first generation, because of their lack of faith, they did not make it to the promised land. Only Jacob and Caleb and a few others and their tribes. Now, he goes on to say, though, I am... Your fathers ate manna. Now, what was the manna? Well, the manna was that mysterious food in the desert with which the Lord fed them. We think of it as bread, but it really wasn't bread. Manu in the Hebrew means, what is this? So basically, you ever go to the college cafeteria and you sort of look at the, and you say, well, what kind of meat is that? Mystery meat, right? Okay. But anyway, they look at it, they say, well, what is this? So they could collect it and kind of knead it like dough and bake it like bread, so it had a bread-like quality. So often they did. They called it the bread of the angels. They called it the bread of heaven. And Jesus is saying to them, now think about that manna for a minute. Now, what would have happened to them if they said, oh, that manna, I'm tired of it. What would have happened to them? They would have starved to death in the desert. They would have not have made it. 40 years they spent in the desert. 40 years. And every day, the Lord faithfully fed them with this mysterious food from heaven they called manna. Now, he says again, had they not received that food, they would simply have died of starvation. And Jesus is saying, do you understand now? I'm telling you, I am now manna for you. Now, we won't be able to look at it next week because there's a feast day coming up next week of the Assumption. But Jesus goes on to say, I am the living bread come down from heaven. And he goes on and says this, unless. Somebody say unless. That's a strong word. That means, you know, as we say in the Latin, sine qua non. You know, in other words, without this, you got nothing. You can have a car, but without the key, you ain't going anywhere, all right? Say, look at my beautiful car. Uh-oh, I don't have the key. So you see the idea. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Had they not received and eaten that manna faithfully every day, they would have died. They would have starved and never made it to the promised land. And Jesus is saying, do you understand? You must eat my, I'm now your manna. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood for you to make it through this desert unto the promised land of heaven. You see, and to some degree, this is hard. I mean, just again, go back to the psychology, the sociology, all this stuff. Eating human flesh and drinking blood, like, whoa, this is a bit much. Okay. But do you understand who's speaking to you? I'm talking about me. Ignore Carlito up here. Do you understand who's speaking to you and me in this gospel? Jesus. Why did you stand out of respect when the gospel was announced? You stood because Jesus spoke through the deacon. Jesus is saying this to us. And though it be hard, he says, if I have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, bring it on. Now, of course, we receive it under the sign of bread and wine, but that's not bread and wine you get later. In every smallest fragment of the host, the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of Jesus are contained. We're not able to offer the chalices now like we used to, but look, even in the smallest fragment of the host, the complete, whole, total Jesus is available to you. And he's feeding you. And if you won't eat, you won't have the strength to make it through this desert to the promised land of heaven. That's what he's teaching. Now, this implies, therefore, that we need to take him seriously. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And do not ignore the Father saying, this is my son now, listen to him. I need to be serious then about what the Lord is saying to me. And he's saying to me, you need to stay faithful to the altar. You need to stay faithful to Holy Communion. You absolutely must do this, for unless, somebody say unless, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. This is one of the reasons that the church teaches that it is a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday. You know, if there's 3 feet of snow, all right. And, I mean, some of you knew how just really upset I was when they closed down the churches back in about a year ago, huh? And some of you also know I was stealthily getting as many of you communion as I could. I say, Father, I haven't had the Eucharist. I said, oh, no, you come on over. I'll take care of you. Shh. Because I believe what Jesus said. And thanks be to God, about halfway through the close down, the diocese did say, well, it's okay if you discreetly give somebody communion. The main thing is to avoid a big crowd. Okay, fine. And so we did. And as many of you who asked, received. Now again, I say all this to you because we have got to become more serious ourselves about the necessity of receiving Holy Communion every Sunday worthily. If there's any serious sins, that's why I sit in that box over there. And not everybody has serious sins who goes there. But again, to frequently confess our sins and to receive communion worthily is necessary for our spiritual survival. So we start with ourself. I've got to understand, do I know who's speaking to me in this gospel? Yes, the Lord Jesus is speaking to me. He is Lord. He is God. And he's insisting on this teaching. And people are objecting and murmuring and protest, but he stays with it. Because his job isn't to please the crowd. His job is to make sure that we eat and then we make it to heaven. And so he says, I want you to be very serious about this. And we say, okay, then I'm going to be serious about it. So the church warns us that it is a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday. Also because we fulfill our Sunday, the Sabbath, we're keeping holy the Sabbath on Sunday for us. And all of these are ways of saying the Lord commands us because he needs to feed us and to teach us. And we need to gather faithfully every Sunday. Now, with that in mind, then we go to the next stage, which is simply this. There are people you know and love who are not coming to Mass. And are you urgent about that? Well, you know how some people are, Father. You know, okay. But the question is, now look, don't run around in a panic. You know, but on the other hand, you know, I'm just telling you what Jesus said. They're starving spiritually. And we're not very urgent about that. And we ought to be more urgent about it. And again, you say, well, Father, I've tried so many different ways. And they just say, oh, Mom, oh, Dad, you know.